Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies.
Hello, friends. Hope you're doing great. This is yet another episode from Crypto Nights. And this is your host, and today even the speaker, Kant Mediala. Happy to have you, and I wanted to bring an exciting episode to you. We have all been reading up quite a bit about the future of Bitcoin and where we are in the middle of crypto winter and all of that. And I have made one episode already about my observations on the price of Bitcoin and so on and so forth. Continuing that commonsensical viewpoint, I have been scouring the web trying to find some sensible information about where we are and where we could be, how long these kind of cycles last and so on and so forth. And I came across this article, How to Make Money in the Blockchain Economy, which is a kind of a fairly innocuous sounding article by somebody called Bernard Lohn, L-U-N-N. I might be butchering the pronunciation of his last name. Bernard Lohn, L-U-N-N. And it's a surprisingly sensible article. And I just wanted to point out a few things in there that I align with, I agree with, actually. And what he's trying to do is three waves. He's saying learning from the past waves. History does not repeat itself, but it does rhyme. History does not repeat itself, but it does rhyme. Each wave is different in subtle waves, but all waves have a lot in common. And so you can learn from looking at past waves. And he calls blockchain as wave 3 or version 3.0, if you prefer that analogy. Wave 1 is the web wave. Wave 2 is the social media wave. So wave 3 is the blockchain wave. Now, the lessons that we learned from the first and the second waves that we can now apply to the blockchain wave seems to be sensible, and these are lessons that sound sensible. So let's look at those. What are the five lessons learned from the earlier waves? Number one, drum roll please. Number one, change takes longer than forecast. Change takes longer than forecast. Remember, in the internet world, we thought, boom, eyeballs will translate into revenues instantly, and Amazon will overtake Walmart by tomorrow morning. No, that did not happen. Change took 20 years. Change takes longer than forecast. That's the first lesson. The second lesson, change, comma, when it happens, comma, is even bigger than the wildest forecasts, period. What is the second one? Change, when it happens, is even bigger than the wildest forecasts. Wow. What does that mean? Out of the ashes of the collapse of the internet dot-coms in 2000, there came Google. Not AltaVista, not Yahoo, who are old enough to remember them, not home.com or nordexcite.com or any others that were sold pretty well for tidy sums of money. None of them, but google.com. Who the heck knew Google? It was not the first one to the party. And it didn't have the splashiest of teams either. It was two PhD geeks writing software based on an algorithm that they borrowed from journal articles. If a bunch of people point your article and say it's a good article and those bunch of people are good people, then the article must be a good article, so we'll give it a high ranking. And that was called page ranking. It has nothing to do with the web pages. It's Larry Page, the name of the person. And it was called the page ranking algorithm, right? Crazy. Change, when it happens, is even bigger than the wildest forecasts. Now, Google. What is the valuation of Google as of today? Well, we have already seen the internet-driven companies such as Apple cross $1 trillion, Amazon cross $1 trillion, and Alphabet, the parent company of Google, has a market cap of $800 billion. It's just shy of $1 trillion. So that's what Google is today. Okay, and Microsoft is probably somewhere in the same range. Facebook is probably a little bit behind. So change, when it happens, is even bigger than the wildest forecasts. $1 trillion. Nobody even imagined that 20 years ago in the beginning days of internet. Number three, the winners are hard to forecast early. We all thought it was Yahoo, and we all thought at some point it was AltaVista, but it was Google. The winners are hard to forecast early, and those winners are massive. By God, Google has been massive. There are people who made billions of dollars. Several billionaires out of that, yeah. Number four, the early adopters are critical, but totally different from the mainstream. The early adopters are critical, but totally different from the mainstream. For each technology, the people who adopted it. I remember doing a startup. Quick was a company started off 2007, had been an early stage investor. Facebook was relatively unknown, but they were using that to, because they wanted to promote this across the internet even faster. So some of the early adopters into Facebook were probably not the people that are around today. It's mainstream, not the way it was used then, but it's being used differently today. But even better is if you go to the predecessors, right? If you look at companies that came before Facebook, and that hardly looked, Orkut is something that I remember, right? That came before Facebook. And I'm just Googling it while I'm talking to you guys. And so what are the social media companies? Well, here it says there are three social media companies that came before Facebook. Friendster, MySpace. Yeah, remember MySpace? Second Life. I don't even know the other two. But I remember MySpace. My daughter was very, very young at the time, and she had gotten a MySpace account, and I was wondering, what the heck is this kind of a thing? And then, of course, it died a death of a thousand cuts later on. So some people refer to AOL, GeoCities, Six Degrees, Friendster, MySpace, Second Life, Orkut. Yeah, Orkut was something that I mentioned earlier. So they were all of these companies. The winners are hard to forecast early, and those winners are massive. The early adopters are critical. That's the number four point that I'm reading out now. Point number four, the early adopters are critical but totally different from the mainstream. Probably the people who use MySpace and the people who are using Facebook are quite different. In fact, there were not that many on MySpace. Number five, there is a valuation crash between the early hype and eventual value creation. Internet, boom, bust, and then growth again. Did something similar happen to the social media? Yeah. There was a boom and a bust, but the bust kind of coincided with the mortgage crisis, so we couldn't make it out and point fingers at social media and say, you crashed. I don't know if it really happened. But so that valuation crashed between the hype and the eventual value creation. So dot-com boom, and then there was a bust. The next one I really should say is the mortgage crash that came. That's what I remember more than. I don't remember a social media crash, although the early companies that we read out all vanished. And out of the ashes came Facebook, which is now flying high. It is the same thing. Will blockchain have winners? Well, if we look at all of these five lessons, number one, changes take longer than forecast. So Facebook started off in 2009. It might be 20 years. It might be, 2029 before we see some big company emerge as a trillion-dollar business like Amazon or Apple or Google or whatever else. Okay, change takes longer than forecast. But I think it's fair to say 10 years ago. So right around 2019, 2020. So it looks like over the next few years, we should be starting to see, because changes take longer than forecast. Number two, change when it happens is even bigger than the wildest forecast. So they're saying, I wonder how big blockchain economy is going to be. Maybe it'll be another trillion-dollar economy, or maybe it will be like the stock market and it'll be worth trillions of dollars. Who knows? Number three, winners are hard to forecast early. Is it Ethereum? Is it Bitcoin? Is it something else? Well, at least if we go by this, it's probably neither of those two, but something else that's coming in the future. Number four, the early adopters are critical but totally different. The geeks who adopted it, maybe the Bitcoin Jesus, Vitalik Buterin, those are the early entrepreneurial adopters. The pioneers, just like they were for internet and social media, perhaps. So, but if you look at the users, the kind of users that use Bitcoin early on, pirates, thugs, rapists, whatever else that, right? The people who are trying to money launder. So those were the early adopters, were critical, but totally different from the mainstream. Will it ever become mainstream? We don't know. But whatever that mainstream is, that'll show up in the future, according to these five lessons, are going to be different from the early adopters. Okay, and finally, there's a valuation crash, friends. Maybe that's what this crypto winter is. There has been a huge valuation crash of the crypto economy, right, from the early hype to the eventual value creation. So stay tuned. So those are the five lessons that I got from this friend of mine. I don't know him. I did not know him before this, but he's now my new friend, Bernard Lund, and a very sensible blog article. It's called How to Make Money in the Blockchain Economy by Bernard Lund. So those are the five lessons that I read, the way I read them and applied them to the blockchain economy. Hope that helps. Have a great day. See you back soon.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.